You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios, this is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Beautiful Monday morning out there. 55 in Green Bay, 61 in Alton, 58 in Oshkosh. As Brittany said, partly to mostly cloudy today, scattered storms, high in the low 80s, up to 90 by the time the weekend rolls around. Well, right now we're very honored to be with Grant Soletsky, Wisconsin Army National Guard, and of course the big deployment taking place. Everybody shipped out last week. So Grant, you know what? You know what's funny? People always say, oh, those poor people that have to go. No, that's what they sign up for. They love it.
No, we love
it. You guys love it.
Yeah, as a recruiter, like,
yeah,
I miss it so much.
It's what you do.
Yeah, it's something to go do. And it's a year away and go do.
Yeah.
And you wake up, you do what you're told to do, and then that's
you're
it.
Living
that's
your
it.
Dream.
So you don't have to cut the lawn after.
Nope.
You don't have your wife saying, go clean the bathroom.
Yep.
Like, you have a first sergeant telling you that, or a platoon sergeant.
Where do we sign up?
Yeah.
Are we too old?
Yeah. Let's go.
No, that is cool, guy. I think John's right about people are very worried and concerned, but feel sorry for them. But they don't. These guys, like you said, you recruited them. They signed up, and they're energetic.
Yeah, I have like 9 people that I recruited. So it's...
Really?
It's kind of like, so my son's on it as well.
I know.
Yeah. Yep. So he's a combat engineer, but he hopped on with the infantry for this. But yeah, it's I'm very like I'm more nervous like
yeah
like I'm
as a dad
I'm happy my son's there,
right?
I think it's safer for him there than it is here.
Yeah,
just because he's living the young life, and we all know how the young life is.
Well, that's the thing though too that I took away from being when I
right?
you know visited embedded. They take care of each other, so you will never have more protection. All right, they have who's got my six, you know, who's got my back. You'll never have more people supporting you and defending you and mm-hmm. whatever in your entire lifetime than once you're in the military and you're deployed.
Yeah, and then so I got to go in 2019. I was lucky enough to go to Afghanistan.
Yep,
and we were in Bagram for a little while, and when I came home, and we were going through Chicago. And I'm like, my God, like I felt safer in Afghanistan
yeah.
than I did there.
Absolutely.
Because there's towers everywhere. Like yep. It's crazy.
You get that situational awareness.
Yeah,
don't you
do. You notice a lot more things.
Yep.
Yep. You watch everything.
Yep. Yep.
Tell me about the recruiting. I mean, how is that? We get concerned that we're not getting the talent that we used to have. Yet on the other hand, you hear that, you know, there's. It's hard to get in.
It's hard to get in.
But, I know yeah, it is.
But American pride is back.
Yeah.
Good.
So it's the National Guard is up. Army is up.
Good.
I'm pretty sure all other branches are up. So that's good. But again, the biggest issue is all these people are looking to join, but it's so easy to get antidepressants, anxiety medication, all these different pills that doctors give out. When kids can't sit in their chair because they want to sit in their chair for 8 hours a day and they're wondering why they're jumping around. So, hey, give them this pill. But then it's an instant, like a 3-year wait. So you're on anxiety medication and antidepressants, like 3 years. ADHD is like a year, year and a half. Like, so the moment you go up, like, I want to sign up, like, sorry, bud.
But you guys, the thing is, I told you, a great friend of mine, Liz, wonderful lady, her daughter is a medic,
mm-hmm.
and she actually sat with Jim. You were at the music thing last year, weren't you?
Yes.
And she was her daughter was sitting with us,
right?
And she's a medic now and being deployed. And it's like, you know, I followed her since she was like 6 years old. I've been mm-hmm. friends with her mom and everything like that. And it's like she is so proud to be in the National Guard and be a medic in the National Guard. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, years ago, and I grew up like I talk about, you know. My high school graduating class was the first class that didn't have to register for the draft,
okay.
you know, through Vietnam. And nobody wanted to go into the military then. I mean, it was, you know, if you got in trouble with the law, like going to the army, you know, whatever.
Jail or army.
And it's a whole different world right mm-hmm. now. You guys only want very cool people. You know what I mean? You've got mm-hmm. their heads on straight. Oh, it's not the place to go to get straightened out. It's like, we don't want to deal with knuckleheads. We want the elite.
Yeah, if you, criminal records are another pain in the butt to get
right.
in. So, yeah. It's
tough. It's tough to get in.
It is, people, but the benefits are so good.
Oh, like, oh my God, like, they're unbelievable.
The payback, so when you look at, like, National Guard, for instance, we give 8 years of college.
Like, incredible.
So the state of Wisconsin, which loves their National Guard, so thank you, Wisconsin, you get a 4-year, 100% tuition grant, all right? And then the GI Bill, which is another 4 years, which all federal components get. And since we're state and federal, we get dual options. So, like, you can go get your bachelor's degree, and then when you're done with that, you want to go get your master's? Okay, go do your thing.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just, and then insurance-wise and camaraderie-wise, family-wise, like, it's
incredible.
Yep. And they gave us cool uniforms.
Yeah.
And MREs, too.
The only negative, okay?
What do you got?
These young guys, all right, when they re-up and they get that beautiful, huge cash bonus.
Sometimes.
Don't buy a truck or a motorcycle right away. Invest it somewhere.
Yeah. So the bonus isn't so much the investment part. It's like all the guys are deployed right now.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to go overseas for however long it is, and when your boots on ground overseas, it's tax free.
Yep.
So that's just accumulating.
Yep.
And then they come back.
And they buy that truck.
So I'm pushing my son, like, let's go to college, please.
Yeah.
Please. You have nothing. Who cares?
Because it's when you're 48 years old, you will look at that amount of money and say, oh my goodness gracious, would I love to have that right now?
And then they went and bought a truck with those, like, rubber things over the wells, and it's all rusted out to the bed.
Yeah,
I was looking at one this morning. It was like a 2020, and it was all rusted out. I'm like, oh, those are nice rubber side things you got there. Good job.
So tell us a little bit about your unit. I never want to talk about where people go, because that should be kind of classified or everything, but tell us about all the National Guard members that are deployed right now, and they had the big send-off a couple of weeks ago.
So it's a 127.
Yep.
So we got
32nd Division.
Yep. So we got Alpha Company down in Ripon. We got Bravo Company in Green Bay.
Yep.
We have Charlie in Fond du Lac. We have Delta. It used to be in Marinette. Now it's Clintonville. Yep. And then all the medics. And yep. So they're headed over. They're in training right now. They'll pop out sometime down in Texas.
Texas.
And then at some point in the next couple months, they'll pop out and they're going Middle East area. And yeah, they have a few different missions. Not sure exactly what they are. But they're going to go over there and do their thing and enjoy a year and eat well and work out. And
they'll be better protected than anybody walking the streets of Northeast Wisconsin.
Yes. So moms, they'll be okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I just think, I want to underscore how much they're looking forward to it.
It's what they signed up for.
Yeah, they're jacked to go.
Right.
Again, something to do.
Right.
And like, so the cool thing about, again, National Guard, right, we live this, I also like to say, civilian life, military life. They both suck at some point. So, like, with the National Guard, like, you work 2 days a weekend, sometimes three. Or not a weekend, but a month, like 3 days, and then 2 weeks in the summertime. But just when the civilian side kind of is starting to get you down, then guess what? You get to take that civilian uniform off, put your uniform, military uniform on, go do stuff. And right when the military starts to suck, which is about 3 to 4 days, we get to take it off and go back to regular world. It's like a great reset. So, like, this is like a great one-year reset to, like, truly, like, appreciate what you have here, appreciate what you have there.
Yeah.
And then you come back balanced.
But the benefits are for the rest of your life.
I can see why you're the recruiter. I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
I love the National Guard.
Yeah.
I didn't jump until I was 34.
I was going to say, how old were you when you...
34. Old.
34. Yeah. Isn't that incredible?
Saying that. Yeah. Yeah. And, like, it is the best decision I've ever made. Like, I have, like... And the amount of older gentlemen that came up to me the day after I signed up, it had to be like 15, 20 dudes. I ran a gym at the time, so I had like saw a lot of people. And they're like, my number one regret in life is not signing up for service. Mm-hmm. So you know what? Guys and gals, if it's in your heart, go do it.
Right.
Just do it.
And you know what?
Regret sucks.
There's so many opportunities for women in the National Guard. It's incredible.
Yeah. I would say it's getting darn close, like, as far as recruiting. So I'm down in Madison now. I teach ROTC at UW. I took a promotion to Sergeant First Class down there. So I run the recruiting office on the campus.
You're Sergeant First Class?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big shooter now.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot better than Private First Class when I started.
Wow.
Just a little.
But yeah, it was 50-50 this year for recruiting for me.
Really?
And actually for my whole office. Like, it's a lot of females doing it. Like, and they should. Like, it's do your thing.
So you're teaching at the U, right?
Correct. Yeah. Wow. Military science too.
Yeah. I took that at St. Norbert, but it wasn't I'm sure it's much more sophisticated now with you.
The same thing, I bet. Yeah, overall.
He wasn't real pleased with our class, though. He gave us a map.
Okay.
But just, we had to fill in the countries.
That's not easy.
Well, we weren't very...
Todd just choked on his seat.
Everybody knew Italy was the boot, but other than that, he was not real happy. And we had to really study that. And we're all college, but I don't know, we were kind of maybe, I don't know, it was Norbert's, maybe too... I don't know, we just never studied it for whatever reason, and he didn't like that. I just remember that we repelled and did a lot of the cool stuff.
That
was a lot of fun. Yeah, that
was fun. Yeah, we don't do that. So that's like so.
Oh, that was
you don't repel?
Well, we do the
because that would be the one thing I'd fail at.
Our actual soldiers, in military science, we don't.
Oh,
do you shoot? Do you teach your kids how to?
Nope.
Oh, we did that too.
Nope. So
and I told him, I said, look, I'm not much of a hunter. He goes, you know, we prefer people like you because these guys who
and shoot, don't have to break any bad habits.
They think they know everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I liked him a lot. And I had a couple friends of mine that signed up. A good deal. We're sophomores, I think. And then they paid for your other 2 years at St. Norbert. And then you were committed to another 4 or 6. I don't know. But they loved it. I mean, they stayed in it. One of the guys stayed. I think he's still in it.
Yeah. So we have the option. So there's cadets that are actually already contracted with the cadets become future officers. Like they're contracted with the U.S. Army. Oh. And then there's just regular students that are in the class.
Yeah. Do they still have ROTC in high schools? I know Notre Dame or Vermont. They have JROTC, really
like junior ROTC, and that is down in like Appleton area. We don't have it up in this area. But there's no correlation between the two of them.
So do you teach both, or are you just teaching the people like me that we weren't?
I teach both. So that was the craziest thing for me. So I went in there. And I never taught a college class before. And they're 2-hour classes, too. I found out like the day before that my class was 2 hours. That was awesome. Anyhow, so I have like 15 of my kids were the cadets. So like they got it. They've been in it for two years. They get the thing. But then 5 other kids were just regular students. And I wasn't tracking that there was students and cadets. So I had to figure out, because you talk to soldiers a little different than you talk to, with swearing and all that, but it's the abbreviations and all the different things that we just say that we, it's just what we do. But it's a cool chance for the cadets to be able to show the students, because as soon as I'll throw out something, like what's an ORP or whatever, and they'll be like, what's that? And they'll say what it is, and then the other students be like, oh, that's cool. And then before you know it, get to recruit a few new kids out of there. Thanks to my cadets.
You know, you actually threw out one quick little term that was totally military. Normally, you and I or Todd would all say, oh, I'm following that. You're tracking that.
Tracking, yeah.
Tracking is such a military term, isn't it?
I have used that before. Like, what do you mean? Like, tracking. Like, do you get it? Understand it?
That's a really good idea in having the mix, because we were just all novices. We didn't know anything. Mm-hmm. And it would have been cool to see somebody who signed up and maybe look up to them a little bit or talk to them after class and say, how's this really going for you?
Yep.
That's a good idea. Yep. So that's at Madison.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's
awesome.
Good school.
So Madison and St. Norbert's and GB has the same thing. And Oshkosh, Stevens Point, they all have ours.
What are you guys looking for, Grant? You as a recruiter, who do you want to see walk through your door?
I want to see people that know what they want. What do you want in life? Like, what's your direction? And then once you do that, like, all right, And they're willing to make a map and make that and chart that course. And that's my job. And that's us as recruiters' job. Like, all right, here's a course. You wanna start here with us? And they say yes, or if they don't, whatever. But I just want like motivated people that love their country and appreciate the benefits of it and appreciate what they have and then just give back a little bit. It's really not that much.
And I don't know that's a good way to recruit, though, because I think I thought a good school that recruited was Drake. Mm-hmm. And they come in, they say, what do you want to do? And if the kid knows, the guy's like, look, we can work with you on that. But you got to, I think people went in when they were kind of lost back in the day, and now they go in with a goal. Anyway, all right.
We got a quick break. Grant Selesky, Wisconsin Army National Guard, back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome back. Mondo the Mayor here on a beautiful Monday morning with Grant Soletsky, Wisconsin Army National Guard. Well, Grant, you know, obviously you guys had the big send-off there a couple of weeks ago. Just, and not to get into details of who, what, when, and where, but just in general, for all the people in the National Guard that are deployed right now, tell me about their day-to-day.
So, in the training-wise, you wake up in the morning, you eat your chow, whatever it's going to be, living in some not the greatest barracks, but whatever. It's how we are. We could sleep
in Texas,
anywhere.
Texas, right?
Yeah, it was kind of funny. I don't want to get any politics or whatever, but like when they showed the soldiers in California that were laying on the thing, that's how we sleep. Like we're not Congress or senators that get sent to super rich hotels. Yeah. No one says anything about that. Like, why are these guys getting this? That, like, we sleep wherever we get to sleep. Like, it's just the way it is. Like, there's hundreds and hundreds of soldiers. What are you going to do? Put them up in a hotel? Yes, you should. But they save that money for the senators and congressmen.
Yeah.
So no worries. So, but yeah. So anyway,
but they're fine with it.
We don't care.
We
sleep anywhere. It doesn't matter. Then it's
as the one thing I learned, the great phrase. Embrace the suck.
Yeah, you just deal with it. Yeah. Like, it's, and we're all doing it together, so it doesn't faze us.
Yeah.
That always gets me when the people complaining aren't the people that should be complaining.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
using it as a political political thing.
Right. You just said we're fine.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, these poor. It's like, no, we're that.
Yeah. And then go talk to a Joe and like, hey, does this suck? Like, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
You okay? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We're fine. Yeah. Do you like MREs? No. But are they okay? Yeah. I like MREs, so again. It's the second time I brought it up. But chili MREs all day.
Hey, you people eat well.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Yeah. You people eat well. Yeah.
And then when they get overseas, the food is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Well, most places.
I actually put on weight when I went to Iraq the first time because of the midnight snack where they'd have the ice cream sundae things.
It's so good.
Dude. Oh, my God.
And then the omelets in the morning.
Yeah.
We had some... they're from Africa. The ones who are Africa and India were our cooks, and by God, they make an omelet.
Yeah, unbelievable.
So good.
Yeah.
Anyhow, get back to training. So they wake up. They wake up and they go do whatever it is. They got to slowly but surely you build up training, different exercises, and well, you'll do PT, and then you go do live fire. You go do squad tactics. Whatever your mission is going to be, that's what you're training up to go do. And then, you train all day, sometimes into the night, sometimes all night, go to a live range, you go pick up brass when it's done. That's miserable. I will say that picking up brass rounds at 3 a.m, like, and you need a certain amount before you get to go to bed and you have two people that are working in that.
One thing about the 127 though, it's an infantry unit, you know, the 432nd was civil affairs.
Yep.
But you guys are an infantry unit.
Yeah, we are the primary reserve combat force of the United States Army, the National Guard.
People have to understand.
Correct. Like we are, so it's active duty and then National Guard.
Yeah.
Remember, National Guard, when were we established? You guys know?
No.
1636. We birthed everything.
Wow.
We are the OGs of the military. So that's why we are the backup infantry. And then also, Highway 30.
I just want to throw, when I was doing the Wisconsin or the basketball team in Oshkosh, the Herd.
Yeah.
And I was talking to this one guy. He's, hey, one young player goes, what's up, OG? I'm like, hey, that sounds like a cool thing. Call me OG. And then somebody said, it means old guy.
Goat. No, it means old goat.
Old goat.
Original gangster.
I like that. I like that.
That's what he meant when he was talking.
Yeah, right.
But so it's pretty cool. And Highway 32 signs, you guys know that, right? On all the Highway 32 signs throughout the state, there's two red arrows on it.
I never noticed that.
Yep, take a look.
Really?
Yep, now you know.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I will say this, the 32nd Division, in my first book I wrote, and the history of the 32nd Division is mind-boggling.
Yes.
Impressive.
Legit. The longest running concurrent days in World War II of any active or reserve element. Like 632
incredible.
Straight
and
days.
World War I.
Yeah.
Where they first got the nickname Les Terrible in the French pronunciation.
I think that's like history. I love history, and I think that brings along pride.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great that you teach them. I mean, look at how much we're learning. We've been, been around forever.
Yep.
That's just very cool that's part of who you are. And I didn't know that.
It's not the red arrow. There's no line that we haven't penetrated.
Yeah.
I got it.
They penetrate further into enemy territory than any other unit in World War I.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's incredible, their heritage.
Down in Texas, so they're there taking these. How long are they there? Say
it could be.
Oh,
so I'll just talk about my experience.
Yeah,
So in 2019, we were going to go to Afghanistan, and it ended up, we were down in Texas, and we were supposed to be there for a month. We ended up there 3 months. And that's when it's like, oh, please just get us out of here. So anyway, a month, 2 months, 3 months, and then it all depends, because everything's scheduled, everything's planned out. There's nothing, like, there's no surprise. It's not like, so deployments with the Guard, nothing is a surprise. It's not like, oh, World War III kick, and that would be a surprise. Then we would have, like, whatever you called, but that's active element side that does that. Everything's planned out years in advance. Like, we know where we're going to go. We know all this stuff, and just got to go with the flow. So
if somebody is listening right now and thinks, you know, that might not be a bad gig for my son or whatever, or my daughter, what do they do?
So we have a few great, great recruiters in the Green Bay area. A good friend of mine, Sergeant Miller, and Sergeant Martin, they're at the Green Bay recruiting office at 801
Military
Avenue. Yep. Military, go figure. And all you got to do is just go push the button there and say, hey, I'm interested. And to hear more about it isn't committing to anything.
Right.
But if you have interest, go find out. But yeah, Sergeant Miller and Sergeant Martin, phenomenal recruiters. They're both really good friends of mine. Miller used to actually work for me at CrossFit Green Bay.
And once again, the educational benefits are mind-boggling.
Yeah, don't pay for school. Dummies do that. Like, we can go. You can go to college. Like, do you need college? Not necessarily, but if you get it for free, do you need it?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
We'll pay for it.
But don't buy a truck with your bonus.
No, unless it's used.
Exactly. Grant, great having you here, my
great
brother.
Being here. Thank you so much, guys.
Anything we can do to support you guys.
Yeah, and let's talk about November.
We're there.
Okay.
Hell yes.
Let's go.
Oh, my gosh. We are
I'm
such
so
trouble.
Excited right now. You can't believe it. We got to set a quick break. Ariel Perez, Green Bay Press Gazette extraordinary reporter, joining us next.
Got something to say? Text Mino and the Mayor directly through the Civic Media app. Download the app, choose your station, WISS or WGBW, then hit the talk button in the lower right-hand corner and text the studio directly. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Special thanks to Grant Seletsky from the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Of course, they're deployed right now in Texas and going to be going overseas. Man, I can't say enough good things about the Army National Guard, how wonderful they are in every way. Joining us right now is an extraordinary reporter, and I'm not throwing that out there, Ariel Perez from the Green Bay Press Gazette. He's one of those guys, Ariel, I'm serious. When I see your byline, it's like you read the article no matter what, because you have such a great style of writing, and I really and truly mean that.
It's short. It's informative.
Yes.
And
no BS.
So you read it quick, and you learn what's happening. You kind of have an idea if it's a restaurant, for example, where you're going to get
matter.
There, right? Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it's a little bit of history of the person.
Again,
I wanted to be
a writer. I majored in journalism. My goal was to be a Sports Illustrated writer, or whatever. So I love good writing. And you're just a good, and I'm not blowing smoke at you, but I just enjoy reading your stories, no
I'm
matter what
improving.
It's about.
You know, I think it's easier for me in Spanish, but English, you know, I'm getting there.
Wow. Well, I hope you stay here for a long time. Like I said, the Chicago Tribune or somebody's going to come knocking.
Yeah, I'm staying.
That's awesome.
Great. What are you working on? I know you're working on a lot of business things. I read that. And you've talked about new businesses, which is exciting. But there's businesses that close, and you put those in there. You don't spend as much time on those as you do on the new ones.
Yeah.
But is there a common thread why they close? I mean, I teach business. It's capital.
Yeah.
So are we too generous with money? I mean, why? But we do have some failures here. And I'm not – I don't want you to dwell on that, but
well,
right?
you know,
can learn from failure.
You know what's hard? When a business closes, it's tough to get the owner to talk about why they close.
Yeah,
I'll bet. It's, you know – they're probably hurt. Maybe they have debt. You know, it's. I try.
I mean, their dream has been dashed.
Exactly.
I really, really try to get in touch with them, and you know, because of that, because I want to learn why, what happened, how they failed.
Is there a common thread? Is it because we didn't have the density downtown that they thought we had? Is it because they couldn't recruit? But if like businesses are failing, it's not always their fault, Ariel.
No.
It could be external forces.
For example, I interviewed this new owner. He's opening a cafe in Suamico. He had a restaurant before in, I think it was Oshkosh, and he had to close it down after, 8 months. The thing is, he is a cook. He said, what I like is to be in the kitchen and work there.
Right.
But, you know, I had a guy that was managing and, you know, money goes going the other way. And so I didn't know about, all the taxes that I had to pay, all these things. So there's some of that, I guess. There's other people, and this is for what I've seen when I asked them, and are you leasing? And they say, yeah, I'm leasing. And I figured, you know, the rent is here must be really expensive, you know, if it's in downtown Green Bay or in Bellevue, for example, that area that's developing over there. If you're not doing well with sales, eventually you're going to go down.
Right.
And that happens a lot.
Yeah. And I think we have a responsibility. People who don't know workman's comp and taxes and accruing for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to ask those questions and we got to help them do that because business is tough. I mean, it is.
Like they say, the most successful ones that I've talked to is like they plan for a year and a half with losses, for example. And if they're doing well, you know, they're smart with money. They save. They maybe, you know, hire one more person because if they're having good business. But it takes a lot to get there.
And we've had people on here. We talk about research before you get in because everybody, I mean, it's exciting to get in and start ringing the till. But if you don't know what you're getting into, I mean, not just the industry. I'm talking about your local thing. And we had a gal in here from Appleton or Oshkosh that did like Subway sandwiches. And she spent a lot of time researching that little business, a lot. She'd sit in her competitor's restaurant and listen to what people ordered. And, and just, she's not going to fail because of research. Yep. And things happen.
She almost saw what to do.
She did.
I love my Hispanic people, but I've seen it a lot here. A lot of Hispanics, they go into the business without knowing much.
Right.
Just they think it's going to be like easy. You know, I start selling and, you know, I'm going to make money and that's it. And then they, you know, on Military Avenue with Leah, the executive director.
Right. Oh, yeah.
She's told me many times, like, I've tried to help, but some of these people, they don't don't even know about the permits. They don't do it. And then they get shut down because you get an inspection and, you know, you're using something you shouldn't be using or you're selling something you can't cook there, you know?
And that's where government has a little bit more of a responsibility to say, look, before I give you the permit where you can occupy the property, and I'm saying we have to give them a class, but oh boy, it's nice if they could just take a few classes and just really, because there's like, people are like, I didn't know that. And I'm like, well, that's good. Let's learn it now before you're, you know, 2 feet in.
It's almost what Sarah White used to do.
Right.
Remember that group?
She had a group. It was, I can't think of the name of it.
For entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
You know,
and it was people.
Showing the bad side.
Yeah.
You know?
And the people who taught there were business people that would go in there. Urban Hope, but something like that. Anyway, and she had a program and really 30, 40 kids would be in the class. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And you'd say, wow, and just look out for this, look out for that, look out for this.
Well, I saw a thing just very recently, maybe it was in one of your articles, like within 5 years, like 60% of businesses, like restaurants, fail.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible.
Also, I mean, you have a lot of restaurants in Green Bay.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot. Like, I talked to a person who has several restaurants, and he's like, you know, it's getting saturated. It's a lot of the same things.
You know, what have you found, Ariel? What have you found with the ones that do succeed? What is there a common denominator?
Yep. Yeah, I think the good food is one, obviously. Yeah, the uniqueness of it, the food, too, and the service. I think those three things are, you know, major.
Isn't that something about service? You might have one employee that can do more damage than any advertising on the positive side.
Yep.
That one bad employee. Isn't that the truth?
Yep. Yep.
And people do talk about the food, but boy, they talk about, like, someone like me talks about the service more than the food. And I think
you can see it in the reviews.
Yeah.
But I think
the
food here is all, I think, you know, the restaurants are all pretty good here. But I think what's good about all the restaurants is the industry is good. People are going out to eat more,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's great.
Yeah.
I mean, whether you go out date night or whatever you do. So where you're going to go is going to depend on the service. And price is not the most important thing for some people. I mean, it's really the service and the quality of the food. So, yeah, restaurants are a tough industry to get into, but there's some people who do very, very well. I got a kid in my class, and my family's into Italian food. I'm like, oh, really? You know, and he's, where are you from? I'm from Appleton. And he's like, Victoria's. I'm like, your family owns Victoria's? And we talked about why, and the kids need to learn why they're successful, but, you know, portions. I mean, don't you think
I was just going to say, if you throw out Victoria's,
right.
What's the first thing pops in your mind?
He said that.
Lots of food.
That's what he said.
Huge portions.
I said, what percent of people are to go? He goes, it's high. But just the consistency too, right?
Yeah.
And
you know what you're going to get.
Through COVID, I mean, they weren't open, but they kept serving.
Where's Ariel Perez reported Green Bay Press Gazette?
And it's just, I'm really happy for the other students that they're going to learn from this kid. I mean, they're going to learn from me, but they're going to, he's going to share some stories, and he wants to get into the restaurant business. I'm not sure he wants to do the Italian thing, right? Because he grew up in that. And,
makes sense.
I said, dude, you might want to take that over too. 40
but
years.
There's not a lot of Italian restaurants in Green Bay.
No.
There's a couple. Yeah. And they're good.
Right. Yeah.
So, they're anyway. Okay.
He's Italian. He can say that.
I know.
Yeah. I just want the smell of garlic.
Yeah.
I told him, we talked about the venting, you know, on College Avenue. You know, you can vent, you know, like Al's does too, right? They vent the fumes out. So
yeah.
We walk by, it's like, oh my God. So
smells good.
Yeah. It just, those are minor things. That's
Ariel, being obviously from, you know, not from Green Bay.
Yeah.
Okay. And now being, you know, a diehard resident of Green Bay, what perspective do you have of this whole community that somebody who lived here all their lives don't have?
I guess, you know,
and good or bad.
I think the first thing I would say is, like, I'm very much, I appreciate it a lot. You know, having conversations with people, I learn. It's difficult for me because I come from a place where people are always joking around. It's partying all the time in a good sense of the word, like not like joking around and poking at each other. Here, you have that, but I would say the first thing I notice here, people are very kind. In business, the service is always there most of the time, wherever you go, if it's a store, if it's the good mornings, that doesn't happen where I'm from. I think there's a lot to change in, you know, the aspect of the amount of people that is in the city. It's not enough for businesses to grow. I would say it's like you get, like, I try to give love to all the businesses that I cover,
right?
Every now and then I go and eat there. I talk to the owner. Yeah. Hey, how you doing? How's business? Some say, we're doing okay. Others say, oh, we're doing great. You know, for me, it's like there's not enough people for the amount of businesses, especially in the restaurant industry. Okay. You can try it once. You can go once or twice, but you're not going to go every day, you know?
It's not cheap. Going out to eat these days is not
It's getting
cheap.
A little bit more expensive, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But we don't have the density to support. And there's...
No.
There, and, you know, you got... You know, look, Bellevue is growing.
I mean, yeah.
Lambeau is growing. And the population isn't growing to the same extent that...
But there's so much space. It's like...
Yeah.
There's so much land.
I agree. It's easy to...
Well, the town of Lawrence is exploding.
Yeah, right? It's growing too.
But you need density. You need people. Like, we feel sorry for, there's a business that we're pretty good friends with, and they don't have a drive-through, and it's just hard. There's not enough people walking past their business to support.
Especially this area, for example.
Right.
What do we need to do, Ariel? Right here, within.
I mean,
100 yards
feel
of us,
like,
downtown Green Bay. What do we need
I feel
to make
like
the next step?
Like, for example, downtown Green Bay, the organization is doing a lot, you know, to bring people, to keep people here. But I think, I don't know. First, well, I mean, it's going that way. You know, you're building new apartments. Yeah. There's new projects. Now the Kohl's moving out. There might be an opportunity there for more buildings, more apartments. But I think you gotta attract more people from the outside of, you know, either the bigger cities in Wisconsin, Madison, Milwaukee, or other states. And you got to make it more attractive with, I don't know, maybe low taxes, maybe, you know, more.
How about parking?
Well,
is it everybody, let's be honest.
Everybody complains about parking in this.
Yeah.
And this, there's so much space everywhere. You can walk.
But
come
parking
on.
Tickets are so expensive here. It's mind-boggling, isn't it?
I only have had one in 5 years.
That's because you walk everywhere.
I'm going to be honest with you. I was at the library the other day. Okay, and I didn't have a quarter with me.
It was like $20.
Yeah, and it was 10 minutes. It was 10 minutes to six, and I sat there defiantly without an expired meter. I wanted a parking attendant to come and try to give me a ticket. I was gonna have an altercation.
They're too aggressive here. They're not friendly. They're
bingo card. I was gonna have an altercation from John. Oh, there you bingo go. Card.
Ariel Perez, reporter, Green Bay Press Gazette Extraordinaire. Back with more right after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I apologize, Ariel.
Oh, man.
Good it's like when your parents break. Fight. Jim was talking about the dumbest thing the city's ever done, and I said it was tearing down the mall across the street.
That's the best thing we've done.
Ariel Perez joining us, Green Bay Press Gazette. Well, Ariel, let me ask you this. Well, Green Bay, you know, we had the draft, and the whole world was watching us and everything like that, which you know, turned out fantastic. But what do you try to tell people when you leave here and you go back to, like, a Miami or wherever, and they say, Green Bay, that little podunk kind of town? What do you tell them about Green Bay?
Well, one of the things I was just talking about before, you know, people are nice. I was telling Jim a story when we were talking about parking a couple months back. I was going to park.
I spilled.
And I see this truck leaving. And when I park it, I'm going to put some coins in the... There were 10 minutes left.
Parking meter.
Yeah, and the parking meter, there was 10 minutes left. So, like, you know, he left. So now every now and then when I'm leaving, you know, I do the same thing. I put one or two coins and leave like 10, 15 minutes there, and I leave.
That's awesome.
And that can make someone's day. They pull
and you
up
got
like,
a ticket.
Yes.
You were a block away. Tell about the story you got.
So, yeah, I parked. I went into Mad Chicken to get some chicken.
Which is a great place. Isn't that great? Oh, man, I love that place.
Dude. And I didn't even see anybody go by.
Yeah.
And then I come out and there's a ticket in my
$20 ticket.
And the thing is that I put like 22. 5 minutes. You know, I put I only had a couple pennies. So I put a bunch of pennies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like 5-7 minutes.
Yeah.
And I just ordered the food and came out and I had a ticket. $22 or something.
Isn't that amazing?
And what's sad about that is someone will take that out of Mad Chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they won't go back. Going there again.
They won't go back.
It's like, what? That's great food, great service.
That's unbelievable. I've never seen that's the number one hated thing of all of Green Bay is the parking society, whatever it's called.
But
how unbelievably aggressive they are. How
but
they
I wouldn't
give
say
so many
I
tickets.
Wouldn't say any of that to anybody in Florida or whatever. I would say people are nice here. There's everything
except for parking.
Well, he doesn't say that. What he's saying is
it's the mayor,
he's
right?
Our ambassador.
It's Eric, if you're listening,
but we had
you can change this, Eric.
We had a group of people come to see us, like five, and they two cars, and they parked here, and they put an hour in, and they went to lunch, and they came back in an hour and 10 minutes, and they both had tickets.
It's unbelievable.
Never
it's
eaten
mind-boggling.
Remember what they said? They're never eating in downtown again. Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah. Nothing hurts downtown Green Bay business more than the parking authority.
It's too aggressive. It's the guy's got to change
belief.
It. Now we have an opportunity to change it because
and they won't
new...
do it. Eric, well, I think he gets a cut out of every ticket. I think he's got a slush fund, just like you had with that cardboard box under your bed. That slush
John,
fund you had. I think Eric gets a cut out of every ticket that's written.
Well, there's That's an issue for
you
us.
You got to do that story. Well, find how much a slush fund that the mayor gets for the parking ticket.
I don't think that's for me.
It's true. I'll do it.
That's Jesse, right?
That's Jesse.
He's the investigative reporter.
Ariel, blame it on Jesse. Yeah. Wow, poor Jesse.
Jesse's working with his salary and all that. Maybe he can squeeze that in.
But Ariel, what's going on here in downtown Green Bay? And obviously we had the draft, which is such a cool thing, but in general, what do you see the future of Green Bay, Wisconsin?
Well, we were just talking about that. I think there should be more events also, you know, especially at night, to bring the young people down and maybe, you know, make it a little bit more lively. There's not a lot of space, though. Like,
what do you think of the coal pile thing? I think going to be a fantastic area for potential.
You know, whenever I'm crossing the bridge, the big one, I see all that land there, and I'm like, oh, it wouldn't be nice if there were, like, buildings and stuff there.
It's prime property on the water.
Yeah, right there. And it's like,
I mean, the city was built around industry, right? I mean, just tell by the train tracks and the coal piles and... That's not easy to change. But this coal pile thing is, there's a real opportunity there. And they can't screw it up. I mean, this is it. And I don't know, and look, I love everybody in Green Bay, but I'm not sure that we have the talent internally to do that. I think we really need to go outside and get somebody who's done this or has experience with that because, you got to get a tax base because you got to pay for this stuff, you know, and there's just a real opportunity to kind of differentiate us a little bit. You know, the suburbs are competitive, although we're a city, but you know, there's a lot of cities in Wisconsin, right? And Madison's only twice the size we are, and why can't we be more like them? And I think there's
Jim's running for mayor again. No, he's
not. I was just gonna say we have all these.
There's some hints there.
We're like,
we need
people.
I saw the glint in Todd's eye.
Finally, we'll get him out of here.
I know who I'm voting for.
Mino and Ariel.
you know, urban planning is something that is very important. And I think, you know, where I come from, we build as we go. And that's why now there's a huge problem in Santo Domingo with traffic because the streets are too small and there's too many cars. So it's important. Yeah, for sure.
We've got 50 square miles here and like 2,000 people per square mile. I mean, that's. We could have 3,000-4,000 people per square mile. The infrastructure's here. We just need to get more people here. And the way we're going to get them here is through education, right? Yeah. Better schools and just more reasons to live here. It's not the weather. People say that. Look, Minneapolis is doing just fine, you know? I mean, there's some cities in the Midwest. Madison's doing great, and that's one of the most sought-after places to live. Everywhere is Madison. So, but we've been here for a while at this 100,000, and we could really elevate this.
And it grows and it comes down. It grows a little bit and it comes down.
But we've never done the big catapult. Where it's like, oh my God,
it's going very slow.
Right, we've never been booming.
Yeah,
and I think there's an opportunity for us to boom.
There's a little bit of booming in the past couple of years since the news about you know, Green Bay, the best place to live.
Yeah,
since there's a lot more money coming in, but still is very slow the process. Yeah, for sure.
Just a lot of opportunity, though. You talk about the land, you know, up by Lambeau Field, there's East Side, West Side, Howard. There's just so we're there. We're not overbuilt.
So
it's
Ariel Perez, we absolutely love having you on this show, man.
Ariel for mayor, man.
You do it all. Ariel Perez, Green Bay Press Gazette. He's
trying to get out of it.
you just want to get away from babysitting, let's be honest. Back after this.
Don't know what I was waiting for, and my time was running wild. A million dead-end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.